conditions. In 1959, Cook Construction Company obtained a special use permit to operate an above-ground quarry. This was then purchased by E.I. Sargent Quarries in 1975, and they opened the underground mine in 1976. And then in 1982, Martin Marietta entered into a lease on the site. So the current land use of the proposed conditional use permit boundary is right now agricultural row crops. They weren't planted this year in anticipation of this development. But the property owner does retain the right to farm any area that is not occupied by mining operations as per the lease. So you can farm around those areas. The majority of the other parcels, including the parcel where the proposed employee building will be located, are zoned HI, heavy industrial. Some background on what Ames Mine produces. It's a construction aggregate, and it mainly is for projects in western and central Iowa. The mine has approximately 100 employees and runs shifts 24 hours a day. This is just a slide on the past history of modifications to the conditional use permit. The original was issued in 1990. There was a minor modification in 1991 for an air shaft. The location of this air shaft was also moved with an additional minor modification to the conditional use permit in 1991. There were several insignificant modifications in 1993 and 1997 for things like changing the orientation of the scale house on the site. And creating a second ventilation shaft on the site. A third minor modification was in 2004 that allowed for a surge tunnel and an additional portable processing plant. And then in 2007, the existing ANFO drop was approved through an insignificant modification, as well as an additional fuel drop on the site. And in 2009, finally, the expansion of the stockpile areas, the east, was approved as an insignificant modification, and I've tried to map out the location of these changes. These are approximately where the past modifications took place for your reference. So, the project's proposed as part of the minor modification. The employee building. It's targeted for completion by end of 2016. Again, the facilities that will be located in this employee building are currently housed in other buildings on the site, which will be removed. There is grading proposed on the site to direct storm water flow. The building height is approximately 16 feet above grade. There is a 120-stall gravel parking lot proposed on the east side of the building. One of the conditions is that it is ADA compliant. It will be located approximately 12 feet from the east common property, meeting county setback requirements. Employees will primarily use the site access drive from North Dayton Avenue to access the proposed employee building and parking. Primarily, they currently use the access from East Riverside Road to get to the current employee building. Staff recommends the revised condition that customer vehicles with product will not be able to leave the site via this North Dayton Avenue access drive, based on feedback and concern from the public. A mobile equipment staging area is proposed to be located west of the building to park equipment, including haul trucks, dozers, in between shifts for employees' use. And site lighting is required around the perimeter of the building as per Mine Safety and Health Administration requirements. There are a federal agency like OSHA that regulates mines. But these lighting shall also meet county requirements, and that is another condition. Finally, a berm is proposed for the south of the ANFO Drive, starting at the southeastern part of the parcel where the proposed employee building will be located, just to the southeast of there. It will run approximately 1,800 feet east-west, and be about 50 feet wide, 5 feet tall, and it will be constructed of topsoil created from the construction or taken off the site of the construction. So here are the building construction drawings. I flipped it on its side so it fit on the slide, so notice the north arrow. These are the proposed offices on the western part of the building. There are restrooms in the central part. Here is the quality control lab. We'll be doing gradation of the project, the product, the materials. We also have men's and women's locker rooms. And in the basement, there will be just a large open space for staff meetings. So here are the elevation drawings of the front elevation on the top and the rear elevation on the back. You can see the grade here. Side elevation also shows the grading. Here's the mobile equipment staging area example. Here's a zoomed-in area of just the access drive. So this is the access drive that would be proposed for employees to use with the new proposed employee building. And here's the current access drive that they've been using to access the current employee building, which is over here in this red square, I think, a little, approximately. So the ANFO drop is proposed for completion in the first quarter of 2017. The reason this ANFO drop has to be moved is that Martin Marietta has been working on the lower level of the mine for several years, and they've recently relocated the underground magazine that the ANFO fuels to this lower level. The current ANFO drop does not reach this lower level. ANFO is a blasting agent used to dislodge bedrock, which they can then crush into the concrete aggregate, construction aggregate. As per Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, Firearms, and Explosives and MSHA regulations, it's required underground to be stored in a well-screened, low-traffic area of the mine. And the location underground meets this requirement, this federal requirement. The top of the ANFO drop at the surface is required to be inspected twice a day, and the bottom is required to be inspected four times a day. The existing ANFO, again, will be plugged, capped at the top and bottom, and the steel locking safety mechanism will be moved from the old ANFO drop to the proposed ANFO drop upon completion. An access drive to the ANFO drop, which is approximately 1,370 feet in length, has already been constructed before staff realized a permit was required. And there is also a pad at the end of the access drive where the ANFO hole will be dug and the steel locking mechanism will be located. The pad and the drive are both gravel. So here's the existing ANFO drop again with the locking mechanism on top. Remember, the ANFO drop is just a 6-inch in diameter hole in the ground. So alternative compliance, issue number one. County regulations require that parking lots over 10 spaces be planted with trees in a ratio of one tree for every five parking spaces to break up gravel area, enhance aesthetics, and provide drainage for stormwater. Martin Marietta proposes planting this amount of trees, but along this berm, this existing berm. This proposal does meet the requirements of the, or the intent of the ordinance in terms of screening, as it provides additional screening for this stockpiling area to the west. The topography of the land to the east of this berm also provides screening for that stockpiling area. And the new employee the proposed employee building and proposed parking lot will be screened by existing trees to the north and east, which we will take a look at here in just a second. Alternative compliance issue number two is in regard to minimum landscaping standards for impervious surfaces. We require, Surrey County Development Regulations require 20% of impervious surfaces on the created by a development to be landscaped. Or an equivalent amount of that area, 20% of that area to be landscaped. This would include the proposed employee building area, the parking lots area, and the ANFO drop access drive and gravel pad area. Martin Marietta proposes that since the amount of existing landscaping is greater than the required 20%, they meet the requirements of the ordinance already. however, if the board does not agree with this proposal, Martin Marietta has agreed to plant 1 acre of prairie grasses to the north of the proposed employee building, and staff supports this prairie installation. Again, the proposed conditional use permit boundary, there was an initially submitted boundary and a revised boundary to address concerns of neighboring property owners. Martin Marietta agreed to go from this is the initially submitted property boundary, and this is the revised proposed conditional use permit boundary. This area near the top is excluded, so we just have the south 850 feet included in the boundary of the parcels where the ANFO drop and ANFO access drive are proposed to be located. So analysis of proposal and standards for approval. In terms of compatibility, the proposed development meets Story County Development Plan goals to foster collaboration between public and private enterprises and retain economic development efforts and attract businesses and retain businesses. Mining and extraction are established uses at the site. They've been established uses since the 1950s. The use of the North Dayton Access Drive for mining activities also began in the 1950s when it was then Old Stagecoach Road prior to the East Riverside Road being built. And with regards to underground operations at the mining site that necessitate the move and the ANFO drop, those have been going on for several years as well. A proposed employee building is similar in style to other buildings at the site. You can reference this picture of the scale house, which will remain at the site, as well as this example of another current building at the site. The building and parking lot will take up approximately 2.15 acres on a 19-acre parcel, so the visual and overall impact is expected to be minimal. Again, there's screening from residences by trees to the north and east. The development is located on the southern third of the parcel, away from the northern property line, and the nearest dwelling to the proposed employee building is 3,200 feet from that site. No substantial noise impact beyond what is created by existing haul truck traffic and processing activity is expected. Again, there is a buffer that we can see in this photo. This is the employee building site facing north. You can see the trees here. Facing northeast, there are also trees along the eastern side of the building. Facing southwest, you can see the stockpiling area in this photo, as well as the processing facility. And facing southeast, there is an agricultural field, again with topography that would act as a screen. The ANFO drop, in terms of compatibility, will also have a minimal impact. Again, it's just the 4-foot steel locking mechanism over the top of this hole. We can see the site is also screened from the north by trees in these two photos. And facing southeast, there is also agricultural land and screening. In terms of transition, again, there's trees. This is a satellite photo. So you can see there's trees to the north and down to the east alongside this proposed employee building's proximate location. Again, screening to the north and east alongside the proposed ANFO drop location. This is the stockpiling area located to the south of the proposed employee building down here. And this is an agricultural field located to the south of the proposed ANFO drop. Martin Marietta, again, has approved an additional berm that will act as a buffer between the existing agricultural area down here and the ANFO drop site. And the proposed alternative compliance measure will further buffer the agricultural site from the stockpiling area over here. In terms of traffic, at present, most traffic uses the site entrance from East Riverside Road. The proposed employee access drive off North Dayton Avenue could reduce traffic in this area by up to 200 cars a day, assuming 100 employees drive separately, take one trip each in and out of the site. While this would increase traffic along North Dayton Avenue, the road sees approximately 1,000 fewer vehicles on average per day than East Riverside Road does, as per Iowa DOT traffic counts. From the annual average daily traffic level currently on North Dayton Avenue, this 200 cars would represent an 8% increase. And creating separate entrances overall would likely improve traffic flow and safety. at East Riverside Road site entrance and the roads in the vicinity. So this is the East Riverside Road entrance. Currently, it's used by customer trucks occasionally. And this is the existing East Riverside Road access that employees currently use to access the current employee building. Due to concerns we received about visibility at the intersection of North Dayton Avenue and East Riverside Road, staff supports the modified condition relating to the acquisition of land to limit crops near the roadway. These pictures show East Riverside Road facing north towards North Dayton Avenue, and you can see the crops versus grass in this area. Again, East Riverside Road facing south towards North Dayton Avenue, you can see the crops versus grass. And the county does currently have an easement on the area and would work to ensure crops aren't planted into this area. We can see it here. The yellow hatching is the full right-of-way and easement. We had originally proposed a vision triangle that you can see. There's a handout on your... And so the easement is greater in area and would provide greater vision than the originally proposed triangle. And the red lines on your drawing are the darker lines because yours is in black and white. They show that the county acquired a supplemental easement in 1991 that provides an additional vision clearance on either side. In terms of parking and loading, the 120-space gravel parking lot is more than enough to accommodate employees. It will be screened by trees. And there is the stockpiling area located to the south. It's approximately 12 feet from the common property line, and ADA-compliant parking is required by Story County Land Development Regulations and a proposed condition. Signs and lighting, no additional signage is proposed. Lighting is planned for the perimeter of the building to meet MSHA requirements, and as a condition, lighting shall also meet Story County requirements. Environmental protection. We do not anticipate the development will cause any increase in noise or vibrations, other nuisance conditions. It's an employee building and ANFO drop. The existing ANFO drop has been in place since 2007. One concern could be excess dust. And this is already required to be controlled by Martin Marietta State of Iowa air permit. The Ames Mine has two water trucks on site to perform dust control, and they could perform additional dust control measures if necessary. Staff supports, again, the installation of 1 acre of prairie grasses north of the employee building to address the 20% of the impervious surface landscaping requirement. And Martin Marietta does plan to grade the field on which the proposed building is located so that stormwater can drain into the existing detention ponds on site. But staff also supports the condition that Marietta must submit a professional site development plan that illustrates best management practices for stormwater control. Comments from the interagency review team are mainly limited to the Story County Engineering Department. They have no issues with the use of North Dayton access drive for employees and support any conditions if there aren't any needed. Story County Environmental Health Department had a few questions about nearby private wells that Martin Marietta answered and how the ANFO hole would be plugged. Comments from Floodplain Management Program. There is no proposed development in the floodplain. Comments from the general public. We received two verbal comments from Jerry Sloan, who was concerned about the how the conditional use permit boundary would facilitate further expansion and would like to see a long-range plan from Martin Marietta about their plans for that area beyond the proposed employee building and ANFO drop. He is also concerned still about traffic using that access drive off North Dayton Avenue, even with there's a condition now on customer traffic. Roger Underwood, who lives within a quarter mile of the site, requested more information, including the site plan and map of conditional use boundary. After receiving that information, he said he did not have any problems with the expansion, but did have a suggestion about the visibility, and that's where the visibility triangle our idea originally came from. We did receive one additional verbal comment this morning about from Carolee Knutson, who is concerned about site security. Staff recommendation, we have several conditions. Planning and development staff recommends approval of conditional use permit application 02-90.4 with the following conditions. The first would be conditions of the approved conditional use permit, the original conditional use permit 02-90 and subsequent modifications shall be maintained. Second is that staff supports the alternative conditional use permit boundary that is limited in scope to that southern 850 feet of the three parcels where the info drop is proposed to be located. The third condition is that staff supports the alternative compliance plan of Martin Marietta to install the 24 trees as required. Staff also supports the installation of the 1 acre of prairie grasses north of the employee building to address the 20% impervious surface landscaping requirement. Condition 4 is proposed to be revised. is in regards to the easement on the roadway and the vision triangle. The proposed alternative condition reads, and I think you have this handout in front of you as well, to address neighbors' concerns regarding vision clearance at the intersection of East Riverside Road and North Dayton Avenue, no landscaping or other construction obstruction, including crops, shall be permitted within existing county road right-of-way. Fifth condition, Martin Marietta shall provide a landscaping drawing showing the proposed landscaping to meet the 20% impervious surface requirements. The sixth condition is that zoning with the zoning permit application submittal, Martin Marietta shall also submit a professional site development plan that shows the best management practices for stormwater control. The seventh condition has also been a revision has also been suggested by Martin Marietta. Right now, 7 reads, customer trucks entering and leaving the property with product materials shall not use the existing site access drive located off North Dayton Avenue. The proposed revision is that customer trucks leaving the property shall not use the existing site access drive located off North Dayton Avenue. Any change to the use of this access by customer trucks shall require a conditional use permit amendment. And you also have this on the sheet in front of you. Martin Marietta, the eighth condition, shall install a paved surface for ADA-compliant parking in the proposed employee building parking lot. And the ninth and final condition, Martin Marietta shall submit specifications for perimeter building lighting that shall meet Story County Land Development Regulations. And these are your alternatives. Question?
Thank you, staff. Any questions from the board, from the staff?
How far north is that from East Riverside?
The proposed building?
Staff. Is that like a quarter mile?
Yeah, I think I have it in the staff report. Let me check.
It'll be at least
It's in the back.
North.
Yeah, it'll be further from East Riverside than it would be from Dayton.
Okay. Any other questions? Anyone here from Martin Marietta to speak for them?
Good evening, Honorable Chair and members of the Board of Adjustment. My name is Neil Grant. I'm the Director of Natural Resources for Martin Marietta Materials Midwest Division. Also with me this evening is Scotty Gerbs. He's our Des Moines District Production Manager. In the event there are any technical questions about the operation. Before I get started, I'd like to say I've been doing this for 20 years, and the two staff presentations that we've heard this evening are the most thorough and comprehensive I have ever experienced. So I will try to keep my comments brief because most of what I was going to say has already been said, so I'll try not to repeat that. pretty simple in a nutshell. We'd like to build a new employee building. We'll remove the old one. We've got an employee building that contains the QC lab, and then the old original 1950s scale house is where our foremen have their offices. So those two buildings will go away. They'll be replaced by this new proposed 2,700 square foot building. And then the ANFO drop, again, it's we're mining a new level. We for years have mined what we call the Gilmore City level at approximately 195 feet deep. We've been mining on the Lime Creek level now, which is approximately 400 feet deep. So we'd like to drill a new ANFO drop to that level, but we can't use it in its existing location because that doesn't meet the MSHA requirements for safety and security and whatnot at the lower level. So that's the reason for the shift. But again, they're both essentially replacements. We'll cap the old one when we install the new one. We'll remove the old buildings when we build the new one. Regarding the alternate compliance, then, you know, we are still proposing to provide the landscape that's required. However, we felt that just based on the existing site conditions, that parking lot is already very well screened, and we didn't feel that adding additional trees there would be particularly beneficial. But we've noticed that there's some openings in the berm. There were some trees on this berm that was installed in the 90s, but there's some openings there, and we thought that might be a better place to put those trees. But it's still considered alternate compliance because the ordinance would prescribe that it would be around the parking lot. The other alternate compliance has to do with the percentage of the impervious area on the site. If you look at the big picture, if you take the entire conditional use permit area as a whole, we actually greatly exceed the requirement. I think I figured out it was approximately 574% of the requirement has already been met with existing landscape area on site. So I guess it's our position that it's met and that we don't need to add anything further. However, if the board disagrees with that interpretation, we've proposed to install some prairie grass north of the employee building, which staff has already noted that they are in support of. Again, it's been kind of discussed, so I'll just go over it briefly. There's the original operation that predated zoning. There's been a few things that have been added over the years in the heavy industrial district, so we've got some things that were added as uses allowed by right. And then in 1990, the original conditional use permit was approved, and that has been kind of considered the de facto conditional use permit for this site. When we submitted, however, staff pointed out that the ANFO drop is outside of that area, and so we've put together that comprehensive conditional use permit boundary to be all-encompassing. And then as it relates to the comment about reducing the size of that, moving it farther south, north of the ANFO drop, we don't have anything planned up there, so that's fine. We simply just outlined the parcels, essentially. So there's nothing going on up there, and we're willing to pull that back. And you've seen the revised drawing, and we're in favor and support of that. Let's see. We've read through the staff report. We generally agree with all the conditions. There are two that we are proposing some alternatives to, and it's primarily due to just newer and better information. And as it relates to the vision triangle, there's actually just some miscommunication with the property owner on that. They've been planting the same fields they've always planted, but what we've discovered was when the staff suggested the 150-foot vision triangle, I've overlaid that, and that was something we were fine with. But what we ultimately determined was the county engineer had secured supplemental right-of-way easements in this location for better visibility, but it was from a prior owner, and so the current owner was not aware of that. Their farmer was not aware of it, and they've just kept farming what they've always farmed. And the county engineer actually went out and staked it this year due to complaints that it wasn't the corn impeded the vision. And then they were actually kind of upset because the farmer pulled the stakes and planted it again. So I called their property owner and said, you know, what's going on? That doesn't sound right. And it was just simple miscommunication. The power company is going to put new power lines down Dayton. there was a proposal to put them on the west side of Dayton, and then they moved it to the east side. So the farmer mistook the stakes that the engineer put out for the area not to plant. They thought those had to do with the power company's new alignment, so which had moved, so they pulled them. So we've cleared that up. There's no further misunderstanding there. And as the exhibit showed, they'll honor that moving forward, and we'll have a greater amount of site visibility prepared than what the condition originally read. So we're proposing to simply match that higher standard. And then the other one is number 7 regarding access. And again, a bit of misinformation here too. Staff was simply proposing to memorialize what presently existed, and I mistakenly informed them that customers do not use that access. I was later corrected by our vice president, who is a former plant manager of this site in the 90s, and he assured me that even though we relocated, the main entrance was there on Dayton. It was Old Stagecoach Road, and as you saw in that 1950s photo, you can see we accessed that public road in both directions. East Riverside terminated at Stagecoach Road, and that was extended in 1989, and it's no coincidence then that we had the conditional use permit in 1990 to put a scale house down there, and that became the new primary entrance, and the vast majority of the customer traffic moved to that location. But there still are and have been historically instances where customers have entered off of that. And again, I was not aware of that, and so I told staff that it wasn't being used, and they drafted the condition accordingly. And we now understand that that's not entirely correct. But I will say this. It's not used very often at all, and we're not proposing to change anything either. We're not. We just want the ability to continue to use that in the future if it makes good sense. The instances that came to mind recently were some large wind farm projects in northern Iowa where the trucks were coming south down Dayton. And what this allows us to do is get them off the county road faster. So you take that traffic off Dayton, you take that traffic off of East Winterset, and you just bring them right into the site. They're still going to weigh at the scale house down on Riverside. They're still going to exit on Riverside, and so that's how the revised condition is drafted, but it would allow customers to enter in off of Dayton, which we think there's public benefit to, and we'd like to maintain that opportunity in the future. I think that is everything. So at this point, if you have any questions, and then certainly we'll be available to respond to any other comments. Thank you.
I have a question. It has nothing to do with this. More technical.
Sure. Well, that's what Scott's here for.
The ammonium nitrate drop, mm-hmm. Do you bring it in volume, and is it just a shaft you run down? Do you have a bucket lift, or do you how do you bring it in?
It is brought in a semi-train.
Okay.
It is pre-mixed when it comes to us on site, but okay. People already put in it, and okay. It's simply got a hose that attaches, and it's got a blower on the truck that essentially the gravity feeds it into the top of the tank and pump.
Okay. All right. Just curious. Any other questions? Any other comments? Any comments from the public? Yes, sir.
My name is Marty Kelly, and I live at 5183 North Dayton Avenue. And I'm just going to comment. I have in front of me here a Story County Board of Adjustment staff report, and I'm going to make a few comments and maybe ask a couple of questions. I'm on the front lines of this. I'm 5 acres that are just north and just a little bit east of this proposed area. And it says in this report, because the proposed modification is in keeping with the intent of the original conditional use permit, it has no substantial impact on neighboring properties, the general public, and those using the proposed development. It is considered a minor modification. I would disagree with that right away, because even before this came up, the mine is a nuisance to us, noise-wise, vibration-wise, dust-wise. And I will move on. The proposed area would make that 322.22 acres, and the existing is 108 acres. I guess my question would be, why do you need 137 acres to build an employee building and a parking lot? That's a question I would like answered. There are 100 employees, give or take a few, they say. There's a 120-space parking lot. That would mean that maybe they work 24 hours a day. That would say to me that approximately 30 to 35 cars each shift would be coming in. I don't really see that as a hazard going out the same entrance and exit that they have already. And that raises a question to me. Have there been so many accidents on East Riverside Road that it's a problem, those 200 cars a day? But those 200 cars a day would affect my property because of the dust. And already on East Riverside Road, they try to take care of the dust, but it's not always a viable result. Excuse me for pausing here once in a while. I have no disagreement with the new proposed building or the new drop, but I don't see any reason to use 187 acres to do that. I would be interested to know if there are so many safety issues on East Riverside Road. I haven't seen anything, reports of more than usual accidents with traffic coming in and out of there. I'm just wondering if what the reason is. I don't quite understand that. Let's see here. I'm not at all interested in a berm. It wouldn't reach my property, but Mr. Sloan's property is behind mine, and I know that I think the berm would reach his property, and I would think that would be an eyesore for him. Now, the trees they want to plant and the prairie grass is wonderful. I am of likely mind that the proposed shortening of the property that they need, 850 feet from the north to the south, cut that out and leave that alone. I would be happier with that instead of all the acreage that they're proposing that they need for what they're going to do. Excuse me. I'm not at all against their new building and their new drop. I am against the traffic coming up off North Dayton Avenue, and the North Dayton Avenue access gate is generally locked. They don't use that much at all. The farmer uses that. You may see a vehicle going in there once every so often, but that gate is always locked until the farmer comes and uses it, harvest, hauling out corn, things like that. So that's not really a truce that they use that access right now. And I do believe if that access gets opened up to them, that they will be eventually bringing truck traffic out that way. And when they do that, that traffic will turn north on Dayton Avenue, because it's a lot closer to the interstate, and all that traffic would be going by my house and other residences in that respect, which would create a big problem at E29 and Dayton Avenue. Thank you very much for your time.
Any questions for Mr. Kelly? Oh, I'm sorry. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Other comments?
excuse me, I've got a frog here. My name is Jerry Sloan. I live at 5105 North Dayton Avenue and own property immediately north of some of the proposed activity that the applicant is, has presented. I appreciate having the opportunity to comment on Martin Marietta's application before you today. I want to thank Jerry Moore and Amelia Schoeneman for being of assistance in providing information regarding the application. I found him very knowledgeable and professional, as well as open and receptive to hearing my questions and concerns. I've owned this property just north of the quarry, northeast of the quarry, since 1976, around 40 years. When we purchased the land, the quarry, then as known as Cook's Quarry, was essentially no longer operating. Over the years, the quarry operations have changed dramatically. As a neighbor, most of the changes that have taken place have not been positive. I have never complained to the county or to the quarry or county officials about the negative impact of their presence has had on the quality of life on me or my family. I would rather not be here today, but I strongly believe that the application for the substantial increase in the COP land area and traffic changes would be detrimental to me if approved. I do not object to the site selected for the construction of the employee building and parking area because these projects will be built on land within the applicant's current approved land area. It's in their industrial zone. And there's little I think could be done about it. However, the location selected, according to the applicant, creates a new problem for them, and that is employee access to the building. Their solution is a new entrance and exit to the site. I oppose this and will speak to this concern later. I also question the need for the new berm shown on the drawing, the one that is along the south line of the farm lane that accesses this area. That's the one they're proposing to go to Dayton Avenue. My concern with that berm is connected to my concern with the amount of land that they've requested in this proposal. The additional trees proposed to be planted by the applicant on the existing berm running north and south, I agree with, and I think it's a good idea. But I think some additional screening should be done on the south side of their building and parking lot along that along the drive there to provide screening of that building from the south. And they're not proposing a berm there or any planting between the old abandoned road and their new facility. And I think that would be helpful to screen that. However, with respect to the new staff building and parking, not a lot of problem. However, I have a great concern about the proposed CUP expansion to install the new AMFO dump and object to this proposed change. I opposed to this because it is potential to negatively impact my property and value and quality of life now, and even more concerned about its impact in the future. If approved, the CUP will expand much closer to my south property line, my home, and land. It's difficult to see, for me to see, how this proposed change could do anything but negatively impact me and my family now and in the future. Why is so much land needed to drill a 6-inch hole in the ground with an access lane and a delivery pad? It appears to me that this need could easily be met with a 50 to 100-foot strip of ground conforming to the dimensions of the lane and pad they already have prematurely constructed. So what I'm saying is, rather than, there's about 340 acre plots there,
that they're proposing they need an expansion of their CUP into. And it doesn't show up here on this drawing. Maybe there is a drawing that does have it. I think that one you buzzed by there pretty well. Not well, this one doesn't.
Oh,
it's kind of hard to discern the acreage. These get so messy. I thought we were going to have one of these cleaned up so it showed what they have now. And, but essentially, the area that they're wanting to expand their CUP into is that there appears to be approximately 3 40-acre plots. Okay? So you got 120 acres there. And where's the one that shows your willingness to reduce the northern boundary of that? So those are the 3 40-acre chunks that they're proposing. And after my initial conversations with staff, they spoke with Martin Marietta, and they indicated that they would be willing to take, because my property line is just north of that hash mark there. And I appreciate the offer to reduce that. I suggested that they also reduce it from the east, and actually what my final recommendation is, just give them a strip of land to get out to that. Why do they need all that land and a berm to the south to accomplish their need? That being, and I accept the need as being legitimate. It's just my concern is that this amount of land is granted with no proposed use purpose. What's that about? What is that? What, I need to get back to my thing here. I'm going to begin repeating myself. I also believe once land is in the CUP, will be much easier for the applicant to justify requests for additional change in its use as time passes, but because it will be seen as a logical progression towards a predetermined fate. This enhanced chance for additional change in the future will further devalue my property and quality of life. Because I don't know what they're going to be doing in that. I believe there's a plan to do something there that they don't have to discuss today, but in their own planning, I believe that something's planned. Furthermore, the additional COP land is not needed at this time. There's more than enough available land area in their current zone, permitted zone and area to meet the needs stated in their application. Poor planning, inefficient site use should not be rewarded by granting the applicant additional surrounding farm and woodlands for these or other possible future uses. According to the statements made by planning department staff, by the applicant, there are specific regulations and operational needs that require the ampho dump to be located in the requested location. At this time, without evaluation and opinion of an independent expert on such matters, it is impossible to challenge the applicant's assertions. If they can't meet their needs in their current area, I believe that the need can be met by granting this a cut for a much smaller area land, as I suggested earlier. I strongly oppose the applicant's request to redirect business, industrial, related employee traffic to the rural farm lane access through land that is outside of their permitted zone or their permitted or zone boundaries. This route is not needed as there is currently adequate and functional entrance and exit to the site. Additionally, how could it be legal to route quarry business related traffic employees to a private lane through land that is not part of the permitted zone or permitted or zoned quarry property. The lane was once a county road, but was changed to private drive many years ago. The lane is currently closed with a locked gate that has been this way for many years. The applicant has stated that the lane is used by quarry staff and implies that this use is common and frequent. My personal observations are far different. I rarely see quarry vehicles on this lane, and I have full view of the area all day, almost every day. The lane is most used, and rather infrequently, by the farmer that farms the land. The applicant's proposal to use the lane for an employee entrance and exit is a major change in its use. I fully believe that this change will negatively impact my property and quality of life. A change from maybe 1 to 2 vehicles a day increased to 200 vehicle trips a day through their employees alone is no small change. I think it was good for them to hear what other rural residents feel about traffic. You know, we're talking 10 cars a day driving by they were upset about. And you're talking 200 vehicle trips by my place. The now quiet rural farmland view out my front window will change dramatically, as will the increased noise caused by the traffic. I'm even more concerned about the potential for future requests to increase the use of the lane for other quarry purposes like truck traffic. In fact, they're already beginning to talk about it. So it isn't sort of a delusion on my part that that's even in the works. The same, if this first stage is allowed, the same logic that an applicant is using to justify the current request will be used in the future to justify additional intensified uses and attempt to trivialize the significance of the impact of future proposals. The best and logical solution is simply to require the applicant to use the current entrance and exit for their business-related traffic. Please do not approve this proposed change. The mining operations' industrial presence stands in stark contrast to the surrounding farmland, woodlands, and residential properties surrounding it. And every effort should be made to limit its operations and support functions to its current zoned and permitted area. The destructive changes to the land and environment caused by the quarry and the limestone processing operations are extensive and irreversible. The processing area and support area is a limestone dust desert. Nothing should be done that would support or signal to the applicant that an expansion of any part of their surface operation is to be expected without irrefutable evidence that their so-called need for more land can't be met on their current site. A conditional use permit is a special exception to county zoning code that should be granted only to the applicant only if there's no other way to meet the need in an appropriately zoned or permitted area. The increased area of farmland requested for an expanded CUP may be needed, but the request is excessive. And it's only needed because apparently this is this magic site where they've got to put this AMFO dump. The applicant's operation creates three categories for problems for its neighbors. One, underground mining blasting, jolts and rumbling. As I understand, there's nothing local no local control or legal remedy for this problem. The applicant has improved on this, but is still a problem when blasting is close to your home. Number two, the stone processing noise, dust, and light pollution. The noise created by the stone crushing is loud and sometimes goes on for hours. When stone is dumped into metal bins during the crushing process, the sound is extremely loud and penetrating. These activities are carried out almost daily, and it is very annoying. Dust blowing off the site and storage piles is very bad on windy days and is not effectively controlled. At night, their light pollution is visible at night. The stone processing noise and dust problems are increasing. The third major problem is the truck traffic generated by the quarry, by quarry customers. Most of the traffic comes from the south and returns south on Dayton Avenue from Riverside. This route is best as there is only one residence directly on Dayton Avenue south of Riverside, and I don't think it's occupied at this time. Other uses in this area south of Riverside on Dayton are governmental, commercial, manufacturing, and retail, which is a whole different situation than the northern part of Dayton Avenue, south of E-29, which is mostly residential and agriculture. And the truck volume is increasing. All of these problems make it difficult to be the quarry's neighbor. I'm not here just to complain and object to Martin Marietta's application. I have some suggestions based on my personal experience before I retired. I was a vice president at Mary Greeley Medical Center, and one of my responsibilities was to be the administrative person that provided leadership in property acquisition, facility and site planning, development and construction, and also in coordinating, communicating with neighbors regarding site planning and construction. And I worked closely with the city elected and appointed officials, and even more commonly with city staff and facility on development plans and projects. In some ways, our situation at the hospital was similar to the quarry. The hospital zone was embedded in the middle of a residential district, and this caused problems and conflict. One of the most important lessons that I learned from this experience was that clear, well-constructed, up-to-date planning and zoning regulations and project review procedures make developers better site and facility planners. If a developer knows that it is possible to constantly expand its site through zoning changes or use changes, it will lead to inefficient site utilization and inadequate long-range site planning. I also learned that two-way communication with our neighbors about our needs and our plan helped reduce conflict. There had been no communication from these people to its neighbors. When I received the notice for this hearing, I looked at the Story County zoning and CUP regulations. I came away from that review believing that the process and criteria for granting a conditional use permit and subsequent additions or modifications for mineral extraction need a review and update. The applicant's mining and materials processing operation is at a scale of complexity, of size and complexity not contemplated when the current rules, criteria, and review processes were put in place. The CUP standards appear to be written to address gravel pit applications and are far different from the quarry and stone processing activities carried out on the applicant site. I think the standards used to regulate wind turbine installations are are a good, up-to-date example of what to follow when developing new regulations. These standards provide a comprehensive set of objective criteria for review. Subjective conclusions, such as a minor change, without specific evaluative criteria, can make it difficult for staff and the board to fairly and effectively evaluate applications such as the one before you today. Case in point, is it only a minor change to add a large area to the COP? When a request greatly exceeds the need and possibly could be met on the existing site or on a much reduced size request, does the applicant meet the stated goals in the county zoning code, such as preservation of farmland, natural areas, and other goals? What is the potential environmental impact of the AMFO dump and other requested changes on the environment? Will it contaminate the aquifer, create surface runoff contamination if a dumping accident occurs? Is there any potential for contamination in nearby springs and streams that are fed from the area?
Mr. Sloan, I appreciate that, but the regulations that we have are those that we have right now. I would suggest if you think they need to be updated and need changed, you submit that under a different form.
I'm reviewing some of the things that I believe that are embedded in the existing zoning regulations that relate to the establishment of mineral extraction sites.
Well, at this point in time, we're debating this CUP request. The regulations themselves, we don't have any control over.
No, I realize that, and I respectfully submit that a CUP is essentially saying you can do stuff in this CUP that facilitate and are directly associated to your mining operation. Otherwise, they wouldn't be requesting it, because that's all they do. They dig rock, they crush rock, and they sell rock. So anything they do is directly connected to that purpose.
Right, and I understand. And the regulations that you're going into, we don't have any control of the regulations.
No, but I'm just saying that part of the review should take these in consideration because they relate to mineral extraction, under which the whole thing is based. The basis for their whole operation is addressed in the zoning code and the requirement to review before establishing one. All right, I'll skip over it. But I respectfully disagree that this isn't essentially a request to expand their mining-related activities.
One other suggestion I'd have for you, as far as with your background with the regulations to that, submit that to our staff for review.
I did mention it to them. We haven't done anything extensive, but I did mention them. I looked through this and I thought, wow, these seem pretty thin.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have a lot more to go here. These are only a few questions that come to mind that should be addressed before an application is considered, let alone approved. By its very nature, mining and stone processing operation is, to varying degrees, inherently in conflict with its neighbor's uses. The stone processing noise, dust, truck traffic, underground blasting jolts and sounds make it difficult and have a negative impact on the rural environment and the quality of life for residents in the vicinity. Please consider these factors closely when you review this application. Stone processing activities are intensifying on the site in both volume and duration. Mining and processing activities will continue on this site for many years in the future, and conflict and impact on the neighbors' uses will increase over time. These issues will not go away. For me, it's a sad irony of this, is that if the quarry surface materials processing conditions worsen and expand and lead to an unacceptable deterioration in our quality of life, I may well end up in a situation where my only viable buyer of my property will be Martin Marietta or its business associates at a significantly devalued price. The parties that create the problem may benefit from at my expense. Try to put yourself in my shoes. How would you feel? As it stands today, you and this board that serve on the board you serve on is the primary and maybe the only means I have to protect me and my family from further deterioration in our rural quality of life and land that borders us. Please consider my concerns and suggestions as you review this application. I wanted to talk a little bit about this issue of burden of persuasion. Should I wait until whether I believe that the applicant has adequately given adequate information to fulfill their burden of persuasion? Because that's what this is all about. It's a burden of persuasion to persuade this body that this stuff they want to do is okay, or for me to dissuade you that it's not the best thing.
The question I think that we're raising right now, you raise a very good one, concerns the amount of land involved.
Right, and I'm trying to. I think the two key points I want to make: why do they need all this land? Why would this county and its citizens give them ever? I don't even know how many acres it is. It starts out to be 120, so you take a third of that away, so you drop it down to 80 acres. If you take the red boundary off, and why on earth do you need 80 acres of ground to drill a 6-inch hole in the ground and a 20-foot wide road good? And why should they be granted if they provided no information that would lead anybody to believe that they have a need for it, let alone justify the request? If we want it, folks, would you please give it to us?
I think that's where the discussion is right now.
Right, okay. And the other thing is, they allege that this road is currently used by their staff and sort of some thing about trucks currently drive. Well, there's a I see this thing every day. Occasionally, there's a fuel oil truck that dumps fuel oil in a hole by the road, about where the end of their proposed CUP boundary is. That is about, and then I see an occasional Martin Marietta pickup there, but rarely. There's no trucks coming in off of Dayton onto that other than that fuel oil truck. And this is a big deal. Opening this road up is no small matter, and I don't even know how they could possibly be legally using it, because it essentially is used, it's a farm lane, and the fact that it was a public road that they once used has no bearing on it. It's not that anymore. It's a private lane that if they're going to run business traffic on it, they need a CUP to use it.
Well, I think it's being used at the present time at different levels. The question is, right now, whether they're going to allow them in their use permit to continue on the way they are, as I understand. And you raise some very good
questions. So my objection is, don't let them use it. They got an entrance and exit. All they got to do is evaluate their internal circulation. It's not rocket science. They can make it work.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Any questions for Mr. Sloan? Okay. Have another comment from the public? Yes, sir.
Oh, by the way, I have a petition. I have three copies of it. It was submitted to the Secretary.
Yeah, would you please? Thank you.
And these are local folks that live in the vicinity. I didn't go down to the tip-top one. My dear.
No doubt.
I'm Ron Peel. I live at 2017 Dayton Parkway, and I'm the first big home north of there, and I have 24 acres. This is going to impact the property value that I have. The road that they're talking about using, as Jerry has said, is not used. They did have the trucks come in for the windmills. That was a very short, two, three, 4 weeks at most. And then it was shut down, and I see absolutely nobody on that road. And I buy it multiple times daily, and I'm there. The talk of them needing, well, what's wrong with tearing down the building they've got and rebuilding a new building there if they need a new building? Because one of the things the county has talked about is making sure they have proper lighting. Well, light pollution is already huge. It lights up the sky at night, and if they move over there, it's going to get even worse. Where if they stay where they're at, rebuild if they need to, and go for it, but keep the same lighting they've got. Of course, we know the noise is there. We know the dust is there. If they move over, it'll be more dust. It'll be more dust pollution for us. It'll be more noise pollution. It'll be more traffic. The safety factor of that road, I see, is also an issue because of there's a hill, a little mound there, and the whole thing is not without its potentials of hazard. Trees they talk about planting that the county's going to say, you got to plant these. They take down more trees than they ever put up. They need to fill the whole field with trees to get rid of some of the noise and the light pollution and get some trees that are going to be 50 feet tall. Three shrubs does not make for tree planting and noise pollution. They at one time I'd heard that they were going to get rid of backup lights or backup horns and put backup lights on at nighttime. I still hear a lot of backup horns. I don't know whatever happened to that, but it fell through the cracks. And as Jerry had talked about, when they dump, man, it is a shock. And then, of course, they blast all every day. But I can hear their fans continually that are venting the mine. And I hear the crushers continually. And if I go into my basement and it's quiet, I hear their crusher running continuously. Getting this stuff closer to our place, I don't get how that makes it better. And the county should want to protect the landowners that are north there. They talked about it being quite a ways. It's not very far. It's less than a quarter mile from my place to that proposed dump site for fuel oil. What are there hazards to that stuff? I mean, it blows big holes in the mine. What controls that? What keeps it from being a hazard? I don't know those answers, but it does concern me. And if they need to put it there, like Jerry had said, well, number one, move it further south. Berms are just ugly. The berms they put up and said they were going to put trees on, much of the tree population died or has just become weeds. The berms themselves are piles of materials to cover up piles of materials. I mean, does that make it look better? Does that make it aesthetic? I don't see it that way. I guess that's all I got to say. Basically, it's a ditto what he said. I mean, he really laid it out.
Thank you. Any questions, Mr. Peel? Other comments on the floor? Yes, sir.
I'm Paul Grady, and I live in Country Estates. I wasn't going to say anything, but just to show, you know, this concern, subtle concern about expansion. I mean, you've got some jittery people out there that are just the noise pollution, like it's constant here. It's just continuous. And my wife has tinnitus anyway, and it just, in addition to that, and the light pollution. And so these neighbors, especially along the Country Estates, are jittery about it. And any time you hear any kind of talk about it, soil expansion, boy, we get upset. And, I mean, we've been really tolerant. We've been really tolerant of all this. But, you know, we're being pushed as far as we can here, and we're very sensitive to any more pushing. So I'd just like to underline what Jerry said. Thank you.
Thank you. Yes, sir.
Yes. Can we turn the air down?
Thank you.
I thought it was getting pretty warm up here, my
friend. Oh, mouth. I'm sorry. I'm cold.
Norm Marty, 2538 East 190th Street.
Do you want it warm? Do you want it warm here? Or?
No, I just wanted the AC turned down, turned up or down, so it's
a little warm. Down is colder.
Yeah, I don't want it colder.
You
don't
want it colder.
Okay. X dollars.
Are we ready?
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Go right ahead.
Norm Marty, 2538 East 190th Street. And they've covered everything very well, but there's a couple things I want to say quickly. I haven't lived out there nearly as long as Mr. Sloan or Mr. Peel, but I've been out there 20-some years, and the traffic on Dayton has increased immensely. There's been a lot of serious accidents at the corner of Dayton and 190th Street, some people even killed there. She talked about a minimum of 200 cars a day coming off this road. It's not a road now. It's a driveway that's locked all the time. So she says 200, it's probably going to be 300. Okay, now if those cars coming off Riverside onto Dayton, there's nice visibility both directions. It's flat. But where it comes off this gravel road north, farther north on Dayton, there's a hill. There's no passing zone there because the visibility is not nearly as good. So I think you're going to see a big increase in traffic accidents. And also, yeah, Martin Marietta are not good neighbors. I mean, just a quick example. I stopped by this afternoon with a little problem I had. And they were not helpful, and they said, well, it's not our problem. So they really don't seem to care about the neighbors.
Thank you. Others? Any other comments? Oh, okay, we got one.
Jeff Gibbons, 3909 Hoover. I'm in the process of buying 2272 Dayton. My only concern would be the access on Dayton. There's no shoulders there. When the trucks get off on Riverside, if they have an issue, they pull off to the side and are able to do that. It's a very narrow road to begin with. And it's probably one of the worst roads in the winter because the wind comes and the ice comes over it. And so my concern would be more about the safety there, if there need to be when cars are coming in there and it's going to be increased traffic coming from both directions. I think it's you're looking at a traffic safety issue there because that road is so narrow. And in the winter, it does ice over, and the wind melts it wet, and it's an icy road. So that would be my concern. I used to live on Quail Ridge, and the light pollution is, it's actually worse when it's cloudy, because then it shines and it just lights. You know, you feel like you're in the middle of North Grand Mall or Quick Trip.
Okay.
Other comments? Yes, go right ahead.
Taken a lot of notes, so I will attempt to speak to the matters that were raised. Obviously, there was a lot of duplication, so I'll try not to. I mean, if I can answer it once, and I would apply to all and not have to repeat myself. I guess first, just a few comments, just to kind of refocus on the issue at hand here. I mean, our request is essentially a new employee building and an anvil job. We're not proposing, and I'll try to explain more, we're not proposing to make other changes to the site. And if we do, there's an approval process required that we would need to go through. So, again, just want to reiterate, all we're asking for is the building and the anvil job. There was a statement that this road was being opened up for us or to us. It's a private driveway, but it's our private driveway. We control over 1,000 acres here through our leases, including, I mean, all of this ground that's not included in our conditional use permit application. So we're not trying to needlessly include stuff. We've kept all of that out. What we've simply attempted to do, and we talked about it briefly before, and see if I can, you know, you've got the CUP boundary here, you've got industrial zoning across all of this, and then you've got some greenbelt zoning across that. But we've got, you know, a site that's been here for 46 years, and through a combination of some of the stuff that predated zoning, some of the stuff that was developed under the industrial zoning, some of it that went through the CUP process. And staff has astutely pointed out that there isn't kind of a single comprehensive boundary around it. This CUP, this 1990 CUP, has been treated, and we talked about all the different amendments that have occurred to it over the years. It has been treated as a de facto CUP, but it didn't have the boundary. So the request was made to simply create one. We've essentially used the industrial zoning area, the conditional use permit area, and then we needed to include the area over here because one of our requests is over there. We couldn't request something. That's why Jerry wouldn't allow us to use this because it was limited by this description. So we needed to simply comprehensively take a look at everything that's been done in the past and just kind of draw a box around it. And then to the extent that this is now outside that box, we need to add it. You know, this was already added previously, and the questions come up, well, if you've pulled it back from the north, can you pull it in on the east? We've got our fuel drop there, which is, I mean, I only went as far as the fuel drop, and again, a lot of this was simply out of ease of using those existing parcel lines. We don't have any plans here, which is why we pulled it down. We don't have any plans here either. But at the same time, I don't know, Jerry, would you even allow us to have like a little floating postage stamp around that? I mean, then we'd have our driveway running out through the farm field. I mean, we're just simply trying to draw a box around what we've got. There's no bigger, sinister plan. But we've got some constraints we're just simply trying to work within. But I mean, we could probably draw a little postage stamp box around that. We could probably draw a little postage stamp box around that. But I think that creates.
You could go north of where that fuel drop is on that southeast corner and go west and then north on the east side of that proposed anvil drop to try to reduce
some
of that.
Can you point that out? I'm having a hard time following.
Okay.
There's the fuel drop location. What I'm saying is you could extend a line east-west and then go north.
So
you could reduce some of the space.
So cutting out that,
right.
You can do that.
So isn't that fuel drop already, wasn't that approved by previously a minor change?
That was an insignificant request.
So you've already got that whole permit.
That's correct.
So
that's there.
It's been functioning perfectly well as a whole with a minor change.
But the staff has pointed out that it's been treated as the CUP for the whole site, but that's not what the legal description from that reflects. So we're simply trying to systematically take all the different things that have been permitted via different means and just simply draw a box around them. I mean, that's really all we're trying to do.
So the only three things that this conditional use permit would allow you to do is build your building.
Yes.
Put in your ample drop.
Yes.
No additional mining, no additional expansion of your mining operation.
Correct. And we're not opening any new roads. This is our road. It's our gate that's closed and locked. We're the ones who maintain it.
And it's not a road, it's a driveway.
It's a driveway.
It's a driveway. It was a former public road that has been vacated. It is now maintained as a private driveway. We maintain it.
Okay.
We have the entire property under lease. I could have taken that boundary all the way out to Dayton, but there was really no need for that. I thought I drew it pretty tight and compact, and obviously there's a tremendous disagreement over that. I mean, I could have drawn it around the entire 1,000 acres we leased, but there's really no need for that. All we attempted to do was simply draw it around the surface operations. And we can pare it back a little more. I could take it if it was necessary to take it all the way up to Dayton to use our road, we would, but I don't believe it is. I mean, it's our driveway. We have that access today. And we're not proposing any new... the customers aren't going to start using us now magically. Nothing's going to change there. Our employees... And again, I mean, we've got employees... It's not new trucks. These 200 new trips and, you know, 100 employees and 200 cars... That's not new traffic. It's there today. And they're coming from all directions. Some of them are already driving down Dayton today. They're going past this over on Riverside and back in. And they would just hop off right there. There's no new added extra traffic. We're not doing anything that changes traffic. But the employees that are currently coming in here would come in there. We're not changing it for customers. But what we're saying is... And I misunderstood that, and so I apologize to staff that I didn't think that we had any customer accesses there. And I think you've heard a lot of great testimony today. It's very minimal. It's very minimal.
Zero.
Well, mm-hmm. It's not zero. Because, and we've even had, it was the wind farm projects, things like that. And that makes really good sense to continue to allow them to enter. You take that off the public road. You reduce the congestion at the intersection of Riverside and Dayton by doing that. We do it today. We have every right to do it today on our driveway, and we will continue to have that right in the future. We're not proposing to do it any more than we do it today. It's very infrequent. And this request has no impact on that. That's not changing.
I'd like to speak
to that. So let him finish, and then Jerry.
I hope there is another option.
Yes, there would.
Do we want to talk more about boundaries? Do you want me to kind of move on?
No, I think it really boils down to the concerns of the traffic on that road coming on if you allow your employees to actually use that on a regular basis. And I realize it is, but there's the concern for safety on that road. And I've seen it. I can understand that. The other concern is that with this use permit, the only thing that you're doing is the building and the amphlo drop. I think there's concerns that the mining operations would expand over or something underneath. I want to know the record that this is the only thing this permit allows you to do.
Correct.
Okay. Just a point of clarification.
So, again, just making the point, we have this access today. We're not proposing any changes. There were some comments about the berm that's proposed here. I don't think that's a big deal. We can put that somewhere else if somebody thinks that was going to be a problem. And maybe I misunderstood. I thought there was a comment that the berm, rather than putting it here to screen the building, but as we've already discussed, it's a half a mile away, so I don't think a 5-foot tall berm is going to provide any benefit to screen off Riverside. But we want to find someplace close to put it to save it for site reclamation. We want to preserve the topsoil. There's already a berm here, kind of. I mean, it's not being done to buffer our operation from the mining or from the farming or vice versa, but it's just a good place to put it, which is really all we were intending to do. But if it pleases the board or the audience to find a better home for that, I think we'd be open to that. So again, we don't need 200 acres of expansion area. We're not proposing really any expansion. We're building a new building. And we're drilling a hole in the ground. But a lot of those acres are coming over here, and this is ground that's zone industrial and that it's legal non-conforming use, or it was uses permitted by right historically that we're simply bringing in to the fold that has never been done before, and as staff points out, probably ought to have been done in the past. So as it relates to the new ground and our request, it's really just here and here. And I think we're open to trying to pare that down a little farther if that's desired.
Let me ask you this. If you're open to paring that down a little further or changing this a little bit, we would be open to you tabling it if you wanted to change this.
I'd rather not. I mean, I think there's not a whole lot of flexibility. I mean, I think we could probably figure out in 5 minutes what's left to take out and take it out and just move forward, but...
We'll see.
Let's see... Again, comments about the substantial increase in CUP area, but again, you understand most of it's simply stuff that's already there. Again, more comments about a new entrance proposed, but it's not a new entrance. We talked about we still have a fuel drop there we need to keep inside. Comments about the traffic and perhaps I misspoke, but I certainly didn't mean to suggest that there's going to be lots of new traffic on this road. It's very minimally used today, and that's our plan to stay, other than the employees. We are proposing when we build the new employee building, we would propose to have our employees enter and exit that way as well. And we've got heavy trucks circulating throughout here, and we believe it makes good sense to isolate them from that. They park today across the hall road from their employee building, so this would provide a nice, safe opportunity for them to park and walk right into the building and be outside of the hall truck circulation route. So that's kind of part of the reason why it's going there. Lots of concerns about the impact of this proposal, but again, it's a new building. It's nicer looking than the old one. We'll take down the old one. It's a hole in the ground. Questions about how it was legal to route our traffic on a private driveway outside of our permitted area, but again, we have all that under lease. It's our road. Suggestions we were putting our foot in the door to expand up here, and again, we're not. And if anything else we would do up there would require a CUP amendment anyway, so we would have to go back through the same public process. There were a lot of comments just about the existing mining operation that's here. It doesn't apply to the proposal, so I won't really... I know there was comments on the ordinance, and those have been addressed. our processing facility is not changing. Nothing about the mining operation is changing. So I guess let's talk about the CUP boundaries then. Jerry, so you wouldn't...
Can I make a suggestion?
You bet.
Let's take a break here.
Sure.
Restroom break. If you guys want to try to iron that out, you may.
Okay.
And then come back to us. So let's take a 5-minute break.
All right. I guess, can I be informal and just walk it around, at least just to kind of show the concerned neighbors what we're thinking? And
your microphone. Yeah, you can use your microphone.
Can I, if I carry this around, can you hear me now?
Yeah.
Neil Grant. I never gave my address. 11252 Aurora Avenue, Urbandale, Iowa. Yeah. I didn't. I went.
Early on.
Did I say that earlier?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't remember it. So you have it twice now, just in case I spoke too quickly.
That's better.
So this was the same line, but what we're proposing to do now would be to pull it in from the east to have a comparable distance. It's about 75 feet.
Mm-hmm.
The board suggested that maybe we just close the public hearing, table the matter, and then bring the actual legal description and a fancy map to make sure we get it right. The fear is that if we proceed tonight, we might not get the legal description just the way we were trying to represent it here. But we would be able to come in and kind of, it'll be a little farther south than it is on the north because that starts to curve. And again, we're not proposing anything there, and we'd have to get a permit to do something there. But I just like to have a little wiggle room. And then we pull it down again, following a section line here, or parcel line here, and then following the parcel line. The ANFO drop, the fuel drop, the existing fuel drop is south in the south parcel. So we can come straight down that parcel line, and that's still included. We can take all this extra ground out around here.
Okay. Well, that addresses that concern.
Gotcha. There's still the traffic and whatnot.
Traffic.
Yep.
Traffic issue, the interest on the date is not even a question. I mean, you said that's your property, you can do what you feel like with it, right?
Yes. I'm sorry.
I mean, basically, it's maybe one car a week versus 200 cars a day.
The 200 cars a day are...
Might I suggest, like I said, we've got this to table it. The traffic issue, this board... You might agree with the number of traffic and the concerns over that would be coming on Dayton, because those of us have driven it. But I'm not sure what we can do, because it is a private lane, and I'm sure you have your easements. I would suggest, as a good neighbor, though, you, in your proposal, when you bring it back, some sort of dust control on that road if you're going to have traffic on it. I mean, that seems to be a minor thing, but it would help.
It's not a minor thing, because when they used it, it was a mess.
Well, and I understand, but this group doesn't have control over that.
I had one very comment with regards to the money, in terms of their proposal, they isn't part of the request to use that, to use the road. They're just kind of bringing that as an incidental point. It's actually a very significant point, and maybe insignificant to them. Furthermore, a lease is not Trump zoning.
I understand, Jerry, but we don't have control over that private lane.
I believe there's enough evidence that, number one, they don't own the land. Okay? They may have a lease on the land, but it is not in zoned ag, it's not zoned mining, it's not zoned commercial. And so, therefore, their employee traffic part of their mining operation. They can't do that mining without employees, and they're wanting to bring mining-related traffic back and forth on a road that is not zoned. If it were a public road, I wouldn't have a license stand there.
Well, if it was a public road, we could have some control over it. I would suggest you take that argument to our staff and let them handle that. And then they'll bring it to us.
But my objection is for them to walk away from here today feeling like what they're incidentally suggesting is somehow or another potentially okay.
All we're approving, or we're not approving anything, we're tabling this until our next meeting. And at that time, they're going to bring back a legal description, a revised legal description. But like I said, unless you can present something to our staff that says to this board, we have the authority to do some things over that, we can't do anything about that traffic on that lane that we're aware of because of the private nature of it. If it was a public, if it was a public road, yeah, we would have some control. But it's like a farmer with a driveway or, you know. Yeah. So.
So I need to have some more conversation with Jerry.
Yes. Okay. So we'll table that until our next meeting, and you'll come back.
Just a point of clarification. Are we closing the public hearing and then bringing back revised legal description?
Yes. Now, when we bring it back, we'll reopen it, we'll take it off the table.
We probably
need a motion to table.
Yes.
Yes, we do. I move that we table our discussion on the Martin Marietta CUP 02-90 until our next meeting, which will be July 20th.
Second.
I have a motion and a second. Roll call vote, please.
Brecky.
Aye.
McGill.
Aye.
Scarlett.
Aye.
Okay. Moving on. Other business. Emergency action plan for Center Grove Orchard.
Yeah, we provided a copy of that emergency action plan. It was part of a condition. That was part of a conditional use permit request 03-08.1 for the Center Grove Orchard. It was one of the conditions that was required. The owner, Stephen Black, was required to submit this action plan within 90 days of the action of the Board of Adjustment, which was March 16 of 2016. Again, we did provide a copy of that action plan to the Planning and Zoning Commission. You have a copy, or we provided a copy to you as well. I'll just kind of briefly summarize some of the items that are in there. He did provide a list of emergency contacts for poison control, who the insurance provider was, issues with animals, animal control, information about where to put signage for, like, where the fire extinguishers are, where the shelters are located. They do have their safe buildings identified, you know, so if there's a weather event or some type of issue, there's a place where people can go to if they're outside and then get undercover into one of the two buildings. They indicated that the country store and the utility store are going to be, like, their safe locations. There's information in there about fire issues and, you know, trying to decide. There's, like, a decision tree. Are these... is this an issue that can be addressed with staff and the materials that they have to deal with to put it out, or do they need to get professional assistance to address it? There's all kinds of information about how to deal with weather issues. The owner and his staff will be checking the weather daily, you know, especially during this time period. There's information here about what to do if they get an abducted child. They're prepared to have their parking staff make sure that no vehicle leaves the site until each vehicle is checked. The trunks are checked, the, you know, interior spaces, boxes, whatnot. What to do with missing children. They have two-way radios, all their staff does. There's information in there about, you know, staying with the adult who has that concern that a child is missing. Asking for a photo. There's kind of a decision tree that they go through. What to do if they have a gunman on site. Information about that and how to lock down, you know, some of their buildings.
first aid issues, CPR, injuries. They also talked about, you know, if they needed to have LifeFlight come, where that helicopter would land. There were a couple of questions raised by the Planning and Zoning Commission, and we did ask Steve to respond to them. We do have a copy of that in front of you. There was something on the first page that one of the members thought was kind of vague, and he did provide his response. Beginning of season must document that staff has been trained. And so he provided clarification stating that the training is for team leaders and department supervisors. These are people designated to oversee staff in the various areas of the farm. And then there was another question about something that was on page 7 regarding department supervisors, train their staff with CPR. And basically he's basically saying that some of his staff have medical backgrounds, and these are the people that they would draw on for probably minor incidences where they don't need to request assistance from professionals. And so he provides his answer to that issue. Again, that was on page 7. But the Planning and Zoning Commission thought overall that the information that they provided was pretty adequate. And I think staff feels that they did a pretty decent job. This is not something that they just spent a few minutes on. It looks like they've given it some careful consideration. But it's a good step in the right direction. And again, this is a part of that condition for that CUP that was approved by the Planning and Zoning Commission and the Board of Adjustment in March. And so that CUP is a one-year conditional use permit for their operation. The biggest thing that they're supposed to be doing is hiring a consultant to work on a traffic study, which that information is going to go before Planning and Zoning Commission and the Board of Adjustment. But again, this was an item that was required to be submitted in 90 days, so that's why this is before you. So I guess what we would be asking for here is a motion, if you feel that it's adequate, and then again, take into consideration the questions of the Planning and Zoning Commission staff.
I just have one question. I just had this situation yesterday with our farmers market uptown. The weather was very unpredictable, and so I contacted the emergency management team here at the county, and I'm now on a text and email list that if the weather does look unpredictable and they know what time our events are, that they'll contact me. So it might be worthwhile for him to maybe talk to Keith or Melissa.
And get connected that way.
Yeah. Yeah. Especially if they have they have big events planned, like we have Lincoln Highway Days and then the markets. So.
Well, and their biggest day is in October.
Right.
8,000 people on that one Saturday. So that's a good suggestion.
Okay.
I'll definitely pass that along.
Yeah. But otherwise, I'll make a motion that we accept their proposal.
A motion. Is there a second?
There is a second.
Motion and second. Roll call.
McGill.
Aye.
Scarlett.
Aye.
Brecky. Aye. Sounds like we didn't have to get the bottom of it,
didn't it?
That's right. That's right. Put my demands in. Question for the staff before we adjourn for the evening. Any other business that I can think of? In this situation, tonight's discussion, and both of them surrounded traffic. And in the latter one that we tabled, the question, and I am interpreting this because of my limited legal background in dealing with loans and land and easements and whatever. If that's a private drive that Mark Marietta has, and they open it up for their employees, we have no control over it at all, do we? Because that will dump a fair amount of traffic on Dayton at that spot.
Yeah, what Neil's trying to get at is the use of that started in the 1950s. It continued on through when they took over the mining activity in the early 80s, and that their ability to use that for their operation has never ceased. And Staff, we went through all of the previous conditional use permits, hundreds and hundreds of pages of information, to try to find any information with regard to limitations of that drive and that access, and we found nothing. We did route this information to the county engineering staff. We got two comments. One was with regard to being supportive if conditions were, if we thought that conditions were necessary. But he also mentioned that there were discussions about maybe making this a, I don't know if it would be the primary location for access, but that I think that there was general support that potentially that could be, or at least it was being discussed to have that be like a main access location. But again, we didn't find anything that addressed any restriction whatsoever. They're controlling it. They talked about the wind farm project, and that they were coming in empty, making right turns into the facility, and then exiting onto the Riverside Road.
East Riverside.
So I think when they talk about using it for customers, that's what they're talking about.
Having trucks come in empty, leaving where all the other trucks leave today. We were there a couple of times, and there's a lot of activity on Riverside. There's more activity on Riverside than
Oh, absolutely. But as my question is, as a private lane that I assume they have an easement on, we have no restriction, no jurisdiction.
Yeah.
Correct?
I didn't find anything that addressed.
Okay.
So what you're
asking, I think what we're talking about is they don't need another conditional.
Well, what I'm saying is the several of the people questioned, because the number of people that are going to could be using that driveway if they opened it up on Dayton. If it was a public road, we could have some sort of, we require dust control, we require this, we require that. But if it's a private drive, it'd be like someone trying to require my driveway. We don't have any jurisdiction over trying to say, look, you can only have so many people use this or something of that nature.
Right. But it's 2003 is when the public road was closed and became a private drive.
But it's 200 cars over a 24-hour period, which is about 10 cars an hour.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not a, granted, they have the three shifts. So they'll have 30 people come or 35, and then 35 more people come and 35 leave. I mean, I don't know. I can see. I mean, I can see their point. Maybe as a courtesy, if they could do road treatment and keep the dust down. I don't know.
Well, I was also asking it for future, for future reference, because that was also one of the discussions that said something about buses passing down the first one's drive, that quarter mile drive, that's theirs. That's not ours. Okay, we can restrict the 30 parking places, fine. But as far as requiring it to be a width, requiring it to be that, we don't have any jurisdiction.
It's an access that's been, prior to zoning for sure, I don't know what permits were required in the 50s,
Nothing.
Nothing. Yeah. I mean, it was a public road, so there must have been some standard or criteria.
Well,
oh,
it showed
the
road in 1950. I mean, they've used it. The East Riverside didn't even exist.
You see how it kind of occurs.
It's always been used for the east west mine traffic.
Oh, okay.
So that location is established. It's no longer public. The eastern portion was closed in 2003. The west of the electrical substation and then south of Riverside was 1990.
But in terms of dust control, they have a state of Iowa air permit. And to meet that, the new package, dust control Which is why they have those water trucks on site, but again,
that could be a condition too, like, you know, daily or so many times a week.
So you can, we can put conditions in the driveway, Jerry.
Driveway?
Stripes.
Oh, okay.
Okay, that was my question.
Yeah, okay.
So, like, one of the conditions is that trucks can enter but cannot exit with material customer trucks.
And it'd be, the question we ask Neil is,
how many employees come from the north, how many come from the south to get to, you know.
Right. But if you look at the new facility, break room, staging area, I don't know why everybody wouldn't go there. Because even if you turn off of Riverside, it's a maze to get up there. It's a maze of traffic. It's a maze of truck. You know, and they have the right of way. I mean, I go there often to get material. And And in regards to what you just stated, as far as, you know, if you're incoming, once you load and scale out, it would be ridiculous to go anywhere but Riverside because you're almost there.
And like Neil mentioned, when you go there to do a site review, their safety is the number one priority.
After you listen to their 15, 20-minute video, you hop in their vehicles, and there is a lot of activity with truck movement, the pickup trucks and the large-scale trucks. And so right now, you would have to intermingle with all that truck traffic.
Right.
And I think they're trying to eliminate that as a
I don't know why concern. It wouldn't be almost mandatory that that's the access for staff. Mm-hmm. It keeps them completely. All of the operations are west and south of there. Why would you want, I mean, I could easily see, now it's kind of lackadaisical, well, our staff may come and go. I could easily see a manager say, you know, if you're on staff, that's the drive you use.
Yeah, and initially we tried to make that a condition that only be used for staff, but then it was mentioned that, well, you know, right now we have the ability to allow customers to come in empty when they have larger scale projects. And they want to have that ability to do that. But you heard from the neighbors, it's not used that much. But that doesn't mean they can't use it.
Right? Things could increase, though, because when I haul out of there, which isn't frequently, but when I do, it's not uncommon to do multiple loads per day because I'm on a project.
Sure.
And you only weigh empty once. You don't have to go back to the scale house again. So when I'm coming from E29... and that road is open, I'm going to cut across there and go to the Class A pile. Boom. I'm going to get loaded, and then I'll... I can't imagine anybody exiting anywhere but Riverside because it would be almost ridiculous to try and fight your way back through that maze.
Yeah.
But you don't have to weigh empty and loaded. You only have to weigh when you start your day. And when you come back for load 2, 3, 4, 5... So if the semis or whatever are coming, I mean, we have to be, the reality of it is, if I'm driving a truck, I'm not going to go the long way when I can cut across and get to the pile I need and get loaded. So if we don't want that, if that's a big deal, then we're going to have to, because these guys are hauling by the hour and by the load and by the ton and
It's like the shortest route, too.
It's the shortest route. I mean, very few people are going to say, yeah, you're going to cut through there. You're going to, you know, because it's basically you cut across, you pass all the piles. So anything you possibly could want, you stop there first on your way to the scale house, and then you're out. Now, if you're coming from I-35, you know, it's hard to tell. I mean, if you're taking, I don't drive 18-wheelers, but if you got an 18-wheeler, they may choose, because of the congestion on 13th and Dayton, they may choose to sail straight to E29. There's no traffic there. Exit and come in that way after the first load when they've got their empty weight, because they can probably make better time.
It seems like most of the traffic was, you know, east on Riverside, then south on Dayton. And then there's, we saw a stacking effect with the southbound traffic on Dayton, where they're
trying to make that westbound turn on Riverside. So, but
you see coming back, the trucks are headed to Des Moines, it seems like, or for sure south.
And so if they're coming up I-35, I feel like I would just barrel right to E-29, come across, fill, and then fight the traffic on my way out.
And I think Neil's clarified point is they let people do that now. It's a special project.
Right, but there is, the gate is closed because I've also worked.
Well, we were there one day it was closed and then the next day it was open.
Right. See, I've been by there every time. I've never seen it open.
I mean, I know that Denny Smith that farms the land there, you know, and I've helped him before. And it's been closed more than not when I've been in that road. But
okay. Is there anything, another resounding comment we heard was no communication from Martin Marietta. We don't know what's
going
on. Oh, I know.
Yeah, that's their department.
Okay.
Yeah.
I didn't know if we could say, you know, a press release occasionally might be nice, but then not everybody gets the paper.
Yeah, hopefully they heard that comment. Maybe you can shore that up. When we come back, I mean, how much information do you want to hear again?
I'll be honest with you, what we'll do is we'll take it off the table where we are at that point in time, submit, look at their new request.
So we have maybe a few things to show you.
Yeah, we don't need you to go through the whole rigmarole. There's really only three things. This whole battle.
Well, you got
I wish you had been here.
We've received a lot of comments from the general public, and so that's why you got the comprehensive.
Oh, and that's understandable. Yeah. I just, because I interpret it the different, these people, they look around, they're interpreting that they're taking over the world. I interpret it, well, we're still on.
can we limit comments? I mean, Jerry Sloan got a little wild. I knew as soon as he stood up it was going to be at least 20 minutes. And it was. It was almost a half an hour.
Well, I was wondering myself, is there, like, you can have 10 minutes, 5 minutes?
We've never done that.
No.
I've been in here, but I've been in public meetings where they'll say, limit your comments to 10 minutes.
We have a timer.
Okay. Oh, okay.
All right.
I just feel like if Jerry was limited to 5 or 10 minutes and knew that in advance, he would be more succinct on what he had to say.
Yeah.
And it would also let the other party kind of address it. I mean, it got so deep when he tried to address it. He's like, I don't remember which half hour the comment was. You know, so it didn't flow well.
Anything else to come before the group?
Do we need to put that on the agenda that we may limit comments to so many minutes? I don't know. Do the supervisors limit comments? I know the city.
Don't specifically state that.
Okay, city council gives 5 minutes.
City council does.
And that's something that can be said by the chair at the beginning of the meeting.
Okay. All right. Especially if we have a house call.
Anything that after a certain point in time, at the beginning, we can say that your comments only have to be on new material. You can't repeat what other people are saying.
Okay. That'd be okay too.
Well, but even if it was a time limit, wouldn't it be okay for Jerry to speak for 5 minutes and sit down and then hear something else and then he can speak again for 5 minutes?
Yeah.
But it's going to keep it fresh and new. It got to the point where it was like, man, I should just read an email. I didn't.
I'm getting, almost fall asleep.
Yeah, because it was getting pretty repetitious.
I'm looking for a motion to adjourn.
I would love to make one. And I'll even second my own.
Yeah. So moved and seconded all in one quick time.